The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Shack.
S-H-E-K, Shack, Shack, Shack.
Memorial Day is in the books. We are into summertime. Mazel tov to all the youngsters out there who I hope are now on summer break, although I think it extends into June for most kids these days. In fact, that's something that when I decide to take over the planet, one of the first things, maybe even the first thing that I'll do, even before I fix all the wrongs in uniforms out there in sports, it will be to move the school year, the school week, and in fact, the work week to 4 days. That's I think we'll all be able to get behind that. Let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate left, who may or may not question our American freedoms. He's all the way from London, England. Now he's our Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello and happy Memorial Day, Handsome Hank. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave.
Are you?
Happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Yeah, this is the holiday that we just all celebrated and remembered. This honors some of the people that helped save British Tail in mid-20th century.
You went there today.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I assume you have some.
There is something called Remembrance Sunday, but there isn't. In the UK, it's interesting. So the holidays, the days off, the Monday off or whatever, they're just called all called bank holidays. They're not assigned to any. It's not like we're because let's be honest, outside of Twitter, which suddenly is like everyone posting pictures of soldiers. And by the way, it's the right thing to do to remember them. How much time did the average American spend yesterday remembering that or on any of the other independence? Do people go?
Sure.
Let's talk about a little bit this afternoon about independence. That doesn't happen, does it?
Yeah, no, and it's easy to get up on Mount Pius about it.
Right.
But about 10 years ago, it occurred to me, and, you know, I'm pretty far along in life, it occurred to me, you know, Memorial Day is about, making wieners on the grill and drinking
right.
beer and such and celebrating the end of school, as I say, in the start of summer. And, like, a little while ago in life, I realized, wait, this is about, something pretty heavy, obviously. You know, as far as that goes, but I feel like society is catching up with that. I don't know what percentage of Americans actually took any time to do it. But I do feel like we're headed in the right direction, that people are starting to grab back this holiday, mm-hmm. even though they may go out and have their beers, as is their right and freedom to do, that people are now sort of aware now what the holiday's about.
Right.
And that's a good thing. One way to further that cause is what I tweeted on Memorial Day. It's something I've said for the last 3 or 4 years. Is wouldn't it be cool if the NFL took the 40, how it said at literally the number 40 is on NFL gridirons or like any other football field four times the number 40? Why not just make that red, white, and blue because Pat Tillman wore number 40 for the Arizona Cardinals? And for all of time, people will see it. Kids will see it. It doesn't mean that you have to know who Pat Tillman is because you're a little one. You'll take him to the game or her to the game. Why is that 140? And then you'll tell the story of Pat Tillman and his hard-to-fathom great deed he did out of patriotism. And I think that would be a great move. What's the reason not to do that?
I'm not going to make an argument. I would not be very popular if I tried to make an argument against that idea.
So,
and I don't have an argument against
So you, though, I know we're at home, and then we're going to jump into some football things, some football-related matters, summertime style here. You know, as we await, OTAs are underway. There's some NFL news. There is every week. But, you know, Handsome, we're getting fairly close here now. You know?
Yeah.
It ain't that far off.
Not that far away. OTAs taking place. I was this morning. We're lucky in the NFL HQ out here in Culver City. We can, wherever we have cameras, you can watch what's happening live. And then they got, you know, all that stuff gets cut up and put into shows. I watched a bunch of the Cleveland Browns OTAs this morning. Just Johnny Manziel just firing the ball. It's fun watching, you know, spring.
It's funny. I looked at some of that myself and I was immediately struck by, and of course, if I were Cleveland Browns management, I would say we're starting Johnny Football or Shame the Devil this
right.
year. We have to do that given where we took him and everything else. But right behind him, Josh McCown is throwing the ball, and it just seems like, oh, yeah, that guy looks like a full-grown man. You know, he's a 6'4 fella, and then the little fella, Manziel, in the foreground trying to sling the football was amusing. Nonetheless, as I say, I would be starting him.
Do you but that's an interesting point, though, because I agree with you. But where coaches' job security is tied in, you got to think that Mike Patton is probably, he's not on the hot seat quite yet, but in a year's time he will be. Let's be honest, the Browns have little to no chance of winning that division based on the fact that the Steelers are, finished last season strong and favored by a lot of people. The Ravens definitely got better during the offseason. It would make more sense for the Browns to say, let's see if Johnny Manziel is like worthy of that first round pick that we spent on him, rather than here's Josh McCown. We kind of know what Josh McCown can do, and it's basically finish third or fourth in the division.
Well, in the ongoing chess match, and we talked to all the guys who X and O it up here at the NFL and beyond, and that is the recurring thing that they'll mention is, yes, Josh McCown, Brian Hoyer, whoever else, any of those guys of that ilk, can early in a season show you something that the defense doesn't really have an answer for until the defensive coordinator breaks down the tape and looks at it and says, here's how you stop him.
Right.
He's a limited talent. And then it's on that QB to show a different look. Once the defense solves it, can that guy do it? And those kind of guys can't do it, whereas Johnny Football theoretically at least can. But I get why those guys do it. It's sort of like the NBA draft now. The Lakers draft second. They could reach and get one of those guards, but of course they're just going to take whoever falls in their lap because of what you say. Job security. There will be. It's risky to do something outside the box, and if it fails, then you're out the door.
And you're done, and you look stupid doing it.
Whereas you can just shrug and be like, well, what else was I supposed to do? That's what the rest of the
world were going
to
come third in the division. We came fourth in the division. Big deal. Guess what? We're not playing in January.
But again, that defense really has a chance to be good. What if Justin Gilbert turns the corner here too? He was, after all, what was he, the eighth overall pick?
Yeah.
If he is good with Joe Hayden and then they get another DB in this draft, I mean, that defense could really be dynamite. Plus they get Shelton. What if he, really helps solidify their run defense? It's not like they're a pushover. That division is tough, but I think, Handsome, as you and I have already discussed, the NFC South, the AFC East are really up in the air. Four teams you can make a case
could
really win that division.
Yep.
All right, so, Handsome, your Memorial Day, I want to hear about quickly. I saw Mad Max Fury Road, and like the rest of the world, I went wild for it. It was really good. It was a very exciting picture, even though there were about six pieces of dialogue throughout the picture. That was a lot of fun. And otherwise, Football Baby was just the all-American kid. He's 9 months old, after all. We took him out for Memorial Day. He ate cod and French fries and a little bit of custard.
That's called fish and chips. And wait, is he British?
I know. Isn't that inappropriate?
That is weird that he would be eating fish and chips and custard, which is something I haven't eaten since I was in school and was forced to eat it.
And then the night before, he ate ravioli and a little bit of gnocchi.
Well, that's
he's an adventurous fat man.
Yeah, he is.
And you had your little ones solo the whole week.
I did, yeah. I have three children, and my wife went to a wedding in Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky.
How did that happen?
Do you really need to know?
No. That's where you, 15 years ago, were off.
That's true.
Emasculating the sheep.
The calves,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, I was left holding three children, which was an interesting, it really, truly was a juggling act of some kind, especially with a little one almost 1 year old. And it's hard work. I have a lot of respect. In fact, shout out Black Tie. Shout out to people who have to look after multiple children all day.
Well, it's shout out to Black Tie behind the glass, or should we say Young Kobe? He loves talking NBA.
Well, not
Twitter.
Young Kobe, actually.
No, but there's a new one now.
There is. He Black Tie foolishly revealed to me and to Dan Hansis, who is the leader of the Around the NFL podcast, that his family, his nickname in the family, because he's the youngest of five, is that right? With four sisters ahead of him, they would call him Chief. Mm-hmm. And I said he was explaining that, I mean, it's obvious why. He's like the male child. But the truth is, he's not much, he's more of a follower than the chief, was my argument.
True.
Anyway, true. But he is, apparently that was, you know, because that was a little too rugged for him, maybe they just call him Chiefy.
Chiefy.
Yeah.
Chiefy Tie.
No.
And I see behind you there our old pal, Porn
Tie.
Oh, how did that happen,
good
by the
way? Good to see Porn Tie.
I came back because I had to go to the meet, and I came back and someone had a name called Porn Tie on a show.
Look at the mustache. That tells you everything.
I mean, I understood as soon as I heard it, but it's like, how did we... You know, like,
well, somebody's got to, if he's going to be in the tie rack, he's got to have
a
proper
name. What have you got, any other suggestions?
I think it's kind of risky, guys.
I don't think it is.
Black Tie, did you see Mad Max yet?
I did not. Like,
this
I
is
said,
so up your alley, much, I can't so, believe it.
No, it's not. It's way too much action for me. It's like,
I know,
watched
I
the trailer,
it.
And it's
too
like,
much
whoa,
action.
This is way too much going on.
Again, like, even though it's a movie you haven't seen, you already are able to define it's too much action.
We you know, notice this during the whole movie tournament. Like, yeah, sometimes I just know what it is. Like,
I
Quentin
see.
Tarantino and his, you know, shock and violence. This looks like straight, was way too much action.
I'll tell you, I am a curmudgeon. I'm an old man curmudgeon. And on that, it pleases me that they remake Poltergeist and it's gotten abysmal reviews and seems like it'll come and go without anybody noticing it. Same has happened with Red Dawn and any number of other movies. And yet... this Mad Max, I want to dislike it. You know, I wish to dislike it, although the Mel Gibson factor maybe opens my mind up to doing it better. But
why would you want to dislike it? It's the same director, so it's not like the remaking, right?
Well, it is, isn't it? He's now Mad Max, isn't he?
Well, it casts a new actor, like...
Yes, it's remaking the movie with a different actor playing the same character. What are you talking about?
Is the story the same?
No,
it's
not.
More... guess what? They drive a spoiler alert. The movie revolves around them driving a gas tanker across the desert.
That's
the picture.
To Batman being about, you know, some crime that's taking place in a city which is solved by a guy inexplicably wearing a
Batman is
a cape.
Not that simplistic, but yeah, I get your point. It's like, yeah.
So it's either it is a remake. I mean, a remake is like Poltergeist is, we are going to tell the same story, but I understand, although that has had terrible reviews, when it was made, the special ghost horror movies, it makes sense to update because the special effects have got so much better since they were last around.
Don't you dare spit on the grave of Craig T. Nelson, even though he's still alive.
He is still alive.
Beth Williams? How dare you, sir? Besmirch Poltergeist.
No, but I'm saying... I'm scared. Understand why you might want to remake a horror movie with now that you can do all kinds of other special effects.
What was great about Mad Max, this one, Tom Hardy... is, you know, one of my favorite subjects, one of my favorite pastimes is actor redundancies. The best ones ever, in my book, Keanu Reeves' backstory in two movies, as Johnny Utah in Point Break and Shane Falco in The Replacements, is his backstory is that he was the Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback, which is weird. And he's the same actor, and that has been true in two movies. Kevin Spacey in The Usual Suspects and in Seven is the subject of a police sketch artist. I think that's crazy. And Tom Hardy now joins this. I don't know if this makes the pantheon of all-time greats, but in two movies, he goes for a long stretch is wearing a mask that obscures his face. Very
no
weird.
One.
Yeah, he wears like below the eyeballs, kind of like a mask. That's now is not the time for Mad Max. Charlize Theron is in this picture. Anyway, so let's get into some pro football talk here, handsome. Real quick, though, do you agree with this?
Can I throw one redundancy out there?
Please.
Tom
Hanks, somebody has sent me before. There are many of these. We have a long list of these saved up somewhere. One day I have to issue a document showing them all. But Tom Hanks apparently pees in a lot of movies he's in. And if you start thinking about it, he does. He openly pees. He does it in League of Their Own. He does it in Green Mile.
Right.
There are like five of them, though. He pees in a lot of them.
Ewan McGregor likes to give the audience a full frontal in movies.
Is that right?
Yeah, he has this thing, Train Spotting. I'm trying to think what the others are, but you've seen more of his wiener than the average actor.
Huh. I was not aware of that. All right.
A foreign con, who is in Life of Pi and Amazing Spider-Man, he plays alongside a character named Richard Parker. Life of Pi,
is right. That's right. Wait. Let me get that one right again. Because, yes, Richard Parker.
In Life of Pi is the Tiger.
And Spider-Man.
And in Spider-Man, that's Peter Parker's father.
And it's the same guy.
Well, it's not the same guy. He just plays
just
alongside
happens,
a character.
No, I know. Right. The character's name is Richard Parker. That is That's a spectacular one. Yes, I'd forgotten that. All right, but real quick, do you know, Handsome, little quiz for you. Do you know why I wear a button-down shirt but don't use the buttons to button the collar down?
You're a rebel. You
That's right.
be held down by buttons.
That's right, because I...
I
am essentially Mad Max
in
the NFL.
You.
Thank you.
I hate being bought a shirt with the button because I'm like, I wouldn't... Why would I want to tie down my collar? It doesn't make any sense. What? In fact, they're talking about redundancies. What's the point of buttoning down your collar?
Well, I don't know, but I know that they expect me that the man put them there so that I do it.
Yeah, I guess.
Guess
I'm
what?
Asking, I'm
right turn,
person.
The man. I'm one step ahead of you. I ain't playing that.
You
I'm
know what?
Aim.
You know what I've even gone as far as doing? I've cut the buttons off.
Whoa.
The shirt with the button down, but then you just have a shirt with holes in the collar. And
right.
Everything. So then,
and that's cutting your nose or cutting your buttons to spite your shirt. And I don't play that game. This is me openly thumbing my nose at the man.
Well,
take that. There's your button. You see it? It ain't attached. What are you gonna do? You
Message
know?
Received loud and clear, Dave. Mm-hmm. Don't you worry. Everyone's aware what you're about.
All right, let's talk about this, and maybe we'll get to Black Tie's precious NBA if we have a moment at the back end. But right
I watched
now,
the game last night.
Did you really?
So I think I've got some input.
Some Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm. The Warriors.
All right, let me ask you that real quick. Real fast, then. A lot of talk. I mean, because we talked about it last
week. Wait, are we going to do this first?
No, I just want to mention this.
What you call us, Hank?
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Do you want to jump into football talk first?
I'd rather do that.
All right. Yes, I do want to say, think of the LeBron talk from, what was that, Sunday night was really out of bounds. Well, last week, what did we talk about, Handsome? Or what did I bellyache about piously? Oh. Why does everybody's so quick to be snarky? Letterman, oh, he's great, but he should have retired 10 years ago. Simmons is gone. Yeah, he was terrific. Boy, he's not a good enough writer for me. LeBron James, all-time performance, triple-double, you know, the numbers that the NBA has never seen. And the first reaction was, what a phony. He's no Willis Reed limping around like that. Yeah, I get it. It was a little bit showy. But nonetheless, those numbers were all-time great. Why does everybody have to diminish? That's fine to mention it, but the headline is the great performance, not the, you know, the history, the physical histrionics about how
because
hurt
he's LeBron and he's done this before a couple of times. I totally understand you, but I, as the body language guy, I'm calling shenanigans on his whole "I'm so tired" deal. Like, I get it, but we see stars at his level kind of like heroes. We do not like seeing heroes show signs of weaknesses. And I'm not a Kobe guy.
Yeah, we do. In movies, we love that.
Well, not from athletes. When athletes show tiredness and weaknesses, like people get. It's like, no, that's not cool.
Superman has no teeth until the kryptonite makes it out, and then he gets all, you know, all weak and everything, and then he has to rally back against it. That's when we get behind Superman.
Right, and we do. We talk about, you know, Donovan McNabb being carried down the field by his offensive lineman throwing touchdowns with broken ankles.
I think that's through it, not like, oh, man. Now I'm so tired. I've been so hurt. Like, what LeBron did in postgame. Again, it's not a big deal. I agree with you. But I do see why his haters jump on that and just make it a big deal.
I don't understand the reason to hate somebody who is smiley and good-natured most of the time.
Don't be a hater. Like, what did anyone ever gain from being a hater? I think that whole thing is...
It really is a lot of energy.
Like, oh,
people really get a big fire in their belly to get wound up.
I'm a hater.
NFL.com. First, let me say you should be checking out Chris Wessling's great piece on the Ohio River offense, Bill Walsh and all that. The Cincinnati Bengals getting a lot of acclaim there. While you're there, we rated the QBs a couple weeks ago. People are very upset about how we evaluated the top 10 or so QBs. Talk about hating. People, boy, the amount of energy people devote to the comments section and getting fired up about my opinion or whoever's opinion on where Tony Romo ranks among current NFL QBs. I think you have better things to do with your time.
Well,
I hope you do.
We know one of them, Elliot Harrison, was with us for the podcast last week. That was fun. If you haven't listened to that and you're listening to this, I would probably switch this off and go back to last Thursday's podcast, listen to that, then come back to this point in the podcast.
Shame the devil. Let's talk about quarterbacks, but instead of just talking about current quarterbacks, Handsome, here's something. You know, I know you do it every February, I guess it's become an annual pleasure, and it is good fun. You choose a subject, and then you do a bracket. Everybody loves the brackets these days.
Right.
The playoff structure that everybody knows from March Madness. Everybody fills out their brackets. This year, it was what? Best game?
Greatest game in NFL history.
A couple years ago, a few years ago,
we did best uniform of all time. We did all sorts of things.
So, to me, that's fine, except that March Madness, as I have gone on and on about, is fun, but it's not the optimal way to see who the best team in a sport is. No, the best tournament structure known to man, and it's imperfect, sure, but the best you can get is the NFL's postseason structure. That is four division champs, two wild cards per conference, and shame the devil if it doesn't yield the best team almost every single year. And yet, it's not so egalitarian as the NHL or NBA. 16 teams, you just put everybody in, and that's not really especially clever doing that. You're just throwing as many teams in so as many fan bases as possible can be interested. Anywho, the NFL playoff structure is one that I vibe to, of course. So let's start, Handsome, you and me. We did this like 4 years ago, but it's time to update this, and we can do it on any number of subjects. We could do it about what franchise in NFL history has had the best running backs. You know, the Penn State, everybody knows, is linebacker U. That's what it's known as. USC is tailback U. And yet the NFL doesn't have the equivalent of that. And I think we should steal something from college football and do that here and figure out who's quarterback U.
Yep.
Which is the best uniform division? Which teams have the best? And we'll apply the NFL playoff system to determine it. Let's go through each division, Handsome, you and me, and Black Tie, if you wish and insist on chiming in, you're more than welcome to. And you can also hit us up with the hashtag DDFP and let us know your thoughts as well. But right now, let's see if we can put together our list by division, by team. Who has had the best? What's the best standard? The best collection of QBs in history?
Mm-hmm.
Do we do it top three by franchise? Do we do it top five by franchise?
I think it's just, you know, the accumulation of quarterbacks.
Well, it's because, well, the reason I say if you go deep, if you go five, Jacksonville and Houston are have no chance. But then again, you know.
Well, we can do. Let's do three then.
All right, let's see if we can what we can figure out here. And let's start with the AFC East. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard, the Patriots and their quarterback have been in the news of late, so that's a good place to start. In the AFC East, which team has had the most great QBs, Handsome?
You're really asking me this question.
Well, you came to love pro football, American style, because of one number 13,
right?
Dan Marino.
I think it's the Miami Dolphins. In that division,
you go
got Marino,
Dan Marino
and Greasy.
And if you go
Hall of Famers. If you go three deep, I guess, I mean, I would say already you're probably putting Ryan Tannehill in there. The only exception, and I realize Jets fans may be angry about this, but you might possibly put Chad Pennington for his, whatever it was, 2.5 seasons in Miami as the number three.
Well, already
but
we
I,
have
I think,
Ryan Tannehill.
I think,
he's probably
there.
And Earl Morrill, it's worth noting, filled in for a giant swath of the undefeated 72 season. Mm-hmm. But again, he didn't have enough time.
I don't think he's got enough to make that number three spot. But I would rank them over the Patriots. Obviously, you've got Tom Brady, who, you know, a lot of people would say is better than Marino based on the rings.
I think if you pull way back and look at it from a global perspective, Dan Marino and Tom Brady are probably right next to each other.
Exactly.
Hard to distinguish.
But then the rest of their lineup, you're gonna make from, you know, Drew Bledsoe was there and, you know, had a nice NFL career, but certainly not a Hall of Fame NFL career. And then you're into some pretty sad territory. I mean, they went to a Super Bowl.
Well, Steve Grogan was good.
Well, they went to a Super Bowl. Steve Grogan was good, but he wasn't even able to complete that seat. You know, they went back and forth between Grogan and Tony Eason, who was another guy that, you know, in theory, I guess, makes that list.
All right, I'm with you. So, I think the Dolphins win the division.
I'd say the Jets are going to be close with Namath, obviously, but then, you know, the rest of their, you know, Testaverde.
Namath, Ken O'Brien, Mark Sanchez. Geno Smith. All right, so that's it.
And then the Bills is Kelly, and then the rest.
Yeah, I guess you're right about
so
that.
So I think the Dolphins win the AFC East. And I
yeah, E.J. Manuel, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they ain't making the list. Making Joe the Ferguson list. Was all right. But you know what? Jack Kemp was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Kemp won an AFL crown with them.
But, I mean, it's not – it's still not going to be enough to not –
So we're going to say by virtue of two Hall of Famers.
Right.
Although Jack Kemp is a Hall of Famer, is he not? I'm not sure. Because I should know that. I'm embarrassed to say that.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either now that I'm thinking about it, but I have to...
But even then, you were looking...
Well, you know who else shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame? Is...
Bob Greasy.
Is Bob Greasy.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, people talk about...
That was back in the day where getting in the Hall of Fame was a little easier.
Yeah, if they redid the Hall of Fame, I'm sad to say...
I'm with you on that front. Luckily, Ryan Tannehill's career trajectory has him right on pace for a...
All right, so we're off and running. We're giving the division to the Miami Dolphins.
I wouldn't say we're giving... They won it. They took the crown.
Behind the glass, are we down with that noise? The Dolphins over the Patriots
to get the
division title? All right, we'll go to... the Black Tide just says, move on. Why are we getting thumbs down back there? You think the Patriots had better quarterbacks?
There's a bunch of millennials back there. They've never, like...
That's true. They don't know any of those.
Tom Brady is the only quarterback they've ever known as the Patriots quarterback.
AFC North. The Ravens. This is an interesting line. I guess the Browns will stay the Browns and the Ravens are their own thing. And then the Ravens probably have the worst of it. They've been around the least amount of time.
Yeah, let's get rid of the Ravens.
Flacco.
I think Flacco
they'll
maybe
won
the
a
best
Super
of
Bowl.
Them. Right, but...
Yeah. Bengals go... Boomer is their best, or Ken Anderson's probably their best.
Case,
no Hall of Famer.
Case, let's get rid of
Carson Palmer, Greg Cook
pretty
interesting.
Greg Cook, you mentioned Wes's piece, gets a lot of love in there, but it was a year.
Browns, Otto Graham, all those titles from a era that I sort of discount the import of. Bernie Kosar was very good. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Brian Sipe, no. And Johnny Football, as of yet, no. We're not going to label him as one of their greats. And then the North is clearly going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you say clearly, and I'm not arguing. I think the Steelers win it, but I think the Browns give them a better run for their money than you
might.
Well,
Roethlisberger's going to the Hall of Fame.
Roethlisberger.
So then you go Bradshaw.
So you got two Hall of Famers.
I'm
fine with that. I'm not arguing.
It's not outrageously good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the top two, but after that, the drop-off is steep.
Pretty
Neil steep. O'Donnell, Cordell Stewart are probably the guys we have to go with there. The AFC, but we'll give it to Pittsburgh, though, by a whisker there. AFC South, the Colts, if we're including the Baltimore years, which we are.
Yeah, they've got this.
Johnny U, Peyton,
Andrew
Earl Morrill.
I don't know if you've heard about him. Supposed to be pretty good.
What's that?
Andrew Luck.
And Luck.
They're straight ahead of Houston.
Luck, Peyton, Unitas. Yikes! That's probably going to be our number one seed in the AFC. Right?
Behind the glass agrees with that.
Okay, everybody, good. I'm
Thanks,
pleased.
Guys. Thumbs they've up. Heard of Andrew Luck. They're all like Luck and Manning.
They've heard of two of those
Luck
guys.
And Peyton.
Peyton, the guy who was good on the Colts. Yeah, I saw him play a little bit.
Did he play for the Colts? He played for the Colts.
The guy who started for the Colts before, Curtis Painter. Yeah. Oh, he's the same guy as the orange jersey guy? Yeah. AFC West. His current home, Peyton's current home. And I guess he makes that Broncos list, too, because it goes Elway. And then after that, Jake Plummer, Craig Morton.
Don't forget
Jay Cutler. I guess, is Peyton their second best QB ever now?
Yes.
Yeesh. Tim Tebow. Do we go Tebow in there?
Maybe Tebow's third.
Broncos, Elway, Peyton. Okay.
Well, you've got a Hall of Famer. I don't think you give Peyton. I think Peyton only gets half a Hall of Fame point.
Every team in this division is going to have at least one Hall of Fame.
Right, but so two Hall of Famers is going to be the difference, but I don't think you can say Peyton is a Broncos Hall of Famer.
Well, he broke the all-time single-season record stuff 2 years ago. So,
true.
And his numbers have been outrageous since he got to Denver.
Okay.
So, actually, that's pretty good. KC goes Lenny Dawson. Then it's, Joe Montana. Talk about the guy at the tail end of his career. Or is it Trent Green? I guess Trent Green had was really prolific with Dick Vermeil.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty neat story that I don't think we celebrate or that we acknowledge enough. That Trent Green was Dick Vermeil's QB in St. Louis. Then he gets the knee injury in the preseason. Then Kurt Warner rises to stardom. and Vermeil wins the crown there. Then Vermeil retires and then comes out of retirement, and he brings Trent Green, the tragic figure of those Rams teams, and Trent Green thrives then. Now, of course, they don't get over the hump, really.
They got close to the hump.
How long was Vermeil there, even? Because it was Schottenheimer more.
I'm going to guess at 3 or 4 years. I suppose the internet would help us. If Black Tie wasn't on Facebook, he would have supplied the answer by now. But
So
I don't see why you guys keep going through the Facebook well. Who uses Facebook anymore?
Sorry.
FaceTime. He was there from 2001 to 2005.
Spike. Now I can't even think of what it was. What was the one before Facebook? Facebook?
MySpace?
U-Space.
Yeah.
High five.
Trying to make a joke about it and sound like an old man, and in fact, it was no joke after all. I sounded old. The Oakland Raiders have Snake Stabler, two-time champion Jim Plunkett, who is really the quintessential Raider in many ways, you know, thrown onto the trash heap by other teams and then picked up and goes on to glory in the silver and black. And then Rich Gannon. Oh, and Daryl LaMonica, who, to me, you talk about a sexy deep ball, Black Tie. You love your sexy deep ball. Go and dig up Daryl LaMonica. Boy, he's dynamite.
Digging up right now.
YouTube, you can do that.
You really should. You'd go wild. I mean, he has the nicest. I'm no quarterback guru, but you know that I can divine who's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL more often than not. And Daryl LaMonica, you can see, just watch him throw the ball once or twice, and you see, oh, that guy's got a hose.
Namath as well. Namath had a pretty deep ball.
Yeah, he did. He could uncork that.
Okay, so the Raiders, yeah, I mean, this is a tough division. The Raiders, the Broncos, and then the Chargers. You got Dan Fouts as a Hall of Famer. You got Phil Rivers, who I adore.
Borderline Hall of Famer.
He probably, I mean, we talked about it, I think, on the last podcast and said he wouldn't get in, but he's definitely borderline. Breeze had after a rocky start when he was drafted by the Chargers, had a nice time there.
I don't know about John Hadel. That's a tune out for the youngsters, right? That John Hadel,
think Hadel's the third guy.
Drew Brees in his early days was
Moses Marino.
Was great. Moses Marino.
You don't remember Moses Marino? There was a season where the Chargers, I think it was like 1 year or 2 years after they went to the Super Bowl, which was kind of a surprise when they did, got beaten by the 49ers.
Stan Humphries.
When I think Humphries got injured, and that year they must have started five or six different guys. And Moses Marino,
was he a lefty?
Was the last guy on the list. Exactly. He was a lefty, short lefty. And it was a horrible year for them. I think it was the year that they then fired Bobby Ross.
Bobby Ross. I like Bobby Ross. He's one of the last people in society, one of the last grown-ups in society to have a lisp deep into adulthood. Well, you don't see a lot of that. Usually they – I don't know what advances we made in lisp fighting, but it
I
seems
must
like –
introduce you to Greg Rosenthal.
So what is our top three here?
Luckily, I know he's not listening.
Fouts, Rivers, and we're going to go Breeze here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Okay, that's a tough division. I mean, who do you think? Who would you hand it to?
I guess the Fouts, Rivers combo versus Stabler, Plunkett, Gannon.
Wait, Elway, Manning. I mean, you made a compelling argument for me. The Elway, Peyton at his, you know, in a late career surge, and then whoever you want to.
Well, who's the best of that group? John Elway is the best.
Elway's the number one because he played his career there.
Fouts was dynamite.
Fouts is
Stabler gets a ring. Plunkett gets two. Rich Gannon was, for the time he was really good. I think you're right, the Denver Broncos, although I really am unimpressed with who they have at number three, be it Craig Morton, who took him to a Super Bowl, Jake the Snake, Tim Tebow. I don't know, but that's a pretty good.
So we're hedging our bets by saying two wild cards.
Well, let's get a wild. Well, the wild card. So now let's figure out the wild card. I think the Patriots with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady and what? I mean, we already had this conversation. Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe. Okay. So, all right, let's let the wild card possibilities.
No,
you're
right.
You're pushing the Patriots with Brady, then Bledsoe, and we'll say Grogan. Then there's the Raiders with Stabler, Plunkett, and Gannon, or the Chargers with Fouts, Rivers, and Breeze.
Oh, you know who we skipped, though? I know they're not going to get over the hump here, but the former Houston Oilers, now Tennessee Titans, if we make them one team, which we really should, they have Warren Moon and Steve McNair. How's that strike your fancy? And Kerry Collins and Dan Pastorini. Dante Pastorini was good.
That's fine.
All right, I'm just throwing it out.
No, it's I don't know. I at the time, I was never a big War Moon
fan. And Marcus
fan.
Mariota.
War Moon, for everything he did and for as prolific as he did, his team's never had an awful lot of success.
Well,
they always got to the, you know, he had a great defense throughout most of his time in Houston. He had a really, really good defense.
The Miles Davis and, offense, though, when they had Ernest Givens and Haywood Jeffries and
it was a good, that was
Drew Hill.
Right.
That was some offense.
That was a fun team to watch. But if you consider
that they had
that offense and then a really strong defense throughout that time.
Yeah.
And yet. What did they have to show for it?
Well, it's but that is, though, I mean, think about the two straight years, the heartbreakers. They lose that game in Buffalo, the 35-3 game that they lead, and they blow that one. And then the one when Elway kills them in Mile High, they have the lead, and he pulls off that that last-minute drive there. We don't need to bother with Jacksonville and Houston, although it does bear mentioning that pretty good run for Jacksonville. They've only been around for 20 years. Mark Brunell, David Garrard, Byron Leftwich. That's pretty good. For 20 years, that's good.
It's fine.
All right. It's better than the Houston Texans with Matt
Schaub. It's probably better than the Arizona Cardinals have managed throughout. You know, they're the oldest team in the NFL, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to match that. But
help us out behind the glass. Who's your wild card team there? Who do you throw into the wild card mix here? Otto Graham, Bernie Kosar? No, not good enough. We put the Chargers with Fouts, Rivers, and Breeze in there.
I think three teams come out of the AFC West. It happens from time to time.
Okay,
unless the millennials feel so strongly about Tom Brady that they want to put up a fight.
So we'll put Snake Stabler, Jim Plunkett, and Rich Gannon in as a wild card.
Yep.
And you're saying instead of Brady Bledsoe Grogan, your vote is the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders. Okay, that's fun. All right, so those are our seeds. We'll get through it later, who wins it. Do you want to also tackle here?
Do we have to seed them? We haven't
seeded them. Oh, we should seed them. So clearly the number one seed is the Colts. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
Agreed.
Steelers 2 or Broncos?
Yeah, you got two. I mean, you know, Roethlisberger and Bradshaw, are they not two of the top 20 quarterbacks of all time?
That's fine with me.
Top 25? Is that outrageous? To say that people think I'm loco. Oh, you're such a homer with your Ben Roethlisberger support. How can you think he's the second best quarterback?
I think he's better than Terry Bradshaw.
I think so too. But I think Bradshaw also is in the
top 25. Top 25, they're close to each other at the back end of they're probably like 18 and 19.
I don't okay, but Roethlisberger, Bradshaw are better than Marino, Greasy. I guess that's four Hall of Famers. Okay, you know what? Marino's better. I'll give you Marino's better.
A lot better than either of those guys.
A lot better than Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
He's a lot better than
a lot better.
I guess that's true. He is a lot better. we'll make them your second seed, although, again, I am officially raising a four. And Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, okay, so Steelers 3, Broncos 4. Raiders 5, Chargers 6.
There we go.
Everyone
all right.
happy?
We're not going to – let's not finish it, though, because let's let the fan, let's let the Czech Republic and the Hands
I just wanted
Devil
to. I
in
wanted
here.
To do just get you
I
get
appreciate
the seating
it.
For them.
That's good. See?
Black Tie, do you still have a blog page?
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't use it. We really should start. I do.
Yeah,
well, we put the
Twitter,
podcast on
yeah.
there.
Yeah. You still have a blog page.
I know. Well, now when I write something, it runs on the NFL.com homepage.
He graduated.
Yeah, that's right. I was in on the JV until Handsome Hank saw fit to bump me up to the big leagues. All right, do you want to blow through the NFC here?
I don't want to blow through it. I want to give it some serious consideration.
All right, I don't know. I can't tell. I tried to read the room. I always try to read the room,
right?
You know? And so I don't devote too much time going down a well that no one wants to.
But you're looking.
In.
You're looking at the glass. Look at me. Don't look at the glass.
All right.
Those
are you
guys,
interested? Are you interested?
Well,
in this
I
subject?
Feel like I'm participating.
All right, that's true. You're trying your best.
I do my best. Don't look.
Do
at
you
those
feel
guys,
though like? Do
confused.
You feel like this is sort of like? Well, I'm here. I got to do this, and you know.
No,
play
I don't, there's
ball.
No. I mean, you know what?
We could get off.
Jim
of it
Harbaugh,
right now,
if Jim
you want
Harbaugh
to.
Walked in, or sorry, Marv Levy walked in and said, "Where would you rather be than right here, right now?" I'd say, actually, this is a pretty good. You know, I'm hungry. I wouldn't mind some lunch.
I would like that too.
Outside of that, I'm good with being here.
I have some raw almonds. Would you like those?
I already had some.
Did you?
Yeah.
Here's our little halftime show before we get to the NFC. Real quick, Handsome, I heard you say a word last week, and I meant to ask you to say it publicly. Say what you and I both and all the frat dudes wear it now with their shirts. How would you describe the pattern on my shirt and your shirt?
A check.
No. Come on, don't be difficult.
Being difficult.
What when you wear a kilt, it's got a pattern on it. What do you call that?
A plaid? Plaid?
Played.
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 I think I would say plaid.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
You said last week, I heard you say, that's a plaid shirt. And I was like, wow, plaid? What? And I realized what you meant by it. Mm. Plaid. Makes sense. It's got an I after the A. It should be plaid, shouldn't it?
I was if I said that, I was trying to speak American. You say plaid, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I do, too.
Wait, the Englishmen say plaid?
I think so.
Look at that. Look how you got yourself in trouble trying to fit in.
Yeah.
By saying plaid. All right, let's move along now.
Wait, more halftime entertainment.
What?
It's time for Black Tie Shoutouts.
Ah. He's hot.
I just want to give a shout out to you.
Alrighty. We brought this back last episode and bring it back again. Shout out this week. As always, I give shout outs to
Who was the one last week? It was a good one.
Obit producers.
Oh yeah, people in television.
It wasn't that good.
When somebody, I liked it. It was so in television when someone is at death's door, people inside have to cook up the little video segment so that when the person dies, it's ready to roll. But it's pretty grim work to be doing that about somebody who has yet to die.
Yeah,
but also you can't take 3 hours to do it. It has to be ready. Oh, so and so died. Here's our little look back at
right. Like, you ever wonder, like, how quickly, this person has passed, like, earlier today, how quickly did this go up?
Right.
Because they did it, like, a month ago.
Right.
And so they would bring people in.
I like that. That's a nice appreciation.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to those guys for sure. This week, shout out goes to known commercial actors. Because here's the deal. You get into the acting game with high hopes. No one wants to get into the acting game. Oh, I just want to play a bit part in such and such a movie. Be an extra in Mad Max, You want to become a big star. Everyone comes to L.A., Hollywood, and New York to be a big star. But non-commercial actors like Flo of Progressive, she's been doing that for like 10 years. Like it's a good gig for her and whatnot.
Yes.
But that's her whole career. She cannot move on to be anything else because she's
good point.
Flo from Progressive.
Yeah, no one's going to cast her in a horror movie because they'd be like,
Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill should mind his P's and Q's, belly aching about like, well, I can't get any other. I never was able to do anything other than play Luke Skywalker. Yeah, but you were in the best movies of all time. At least you're not Flo.
That's that
talking
on a higher
insurance.
Level. Another guy, what's Daniel Radcliffe? Harry Potter. I know he's tried a couple times to
successfully escaped the
you
Harry
think
Potter.
So?
I think so, hasn't he?
He's tried a few.
Sean Connery did it. George Clooney did it, but it's hard to get out once you get you play an iconic character. I don't know that George Clooney's ER character suits being called iconic, but he escaped television character to become much bigger than he was. But that's a good one. I like
The most interesting man in the world, the Seconds commercial.
Oh yeah, that guy.
But he's at the
then
end
again,
of
I don't
his
think,
career,
yeah.
right?
I'm not sure. Yeah, he's going much.
Yeah, like he's at the end of his career.
This might be the
bad.
High watermark for him.
Yeah, but that's
didn't get the Green Lantern role. Oh man, this Dos Equis thing.
Yeah,
really
I need to change my manager.
Now. Yeah. I hear you, though, and I like it. What's interesting is now how I can't watch the Wildling guy, the red-bearded Wildling guy on Game of Thrones.
A commercial
because
now.
He's now in a bunch of commercials. And by the way, Scottish people are really having their moment in commercials, aren't they? Between the feed it, feed your lawn, feed it. And I've been watching a lot of old Simpsons, too, and he's really the model for that character, isn't he? What's his name? I can't think of his...
Groundskeeper Willie.
Groundskeeper Willie. What a humility.
I'm a Family Guy, not a Simpsons. Yeah.
Well,
Family Guy guy. Not
you
a
know what?
Simpsons guy.
Of all the things, and I've told you you should see a lot of movies that you've never seen before and everything else, the fact that you say that is in the top two most offensive opinions.
Different generations.
No. It's not different. It's not different generations.
Well, it is.
The Simpsons is the funniest show of all time. Yeah. Ergo, the float... Well, I'm more of a Family Guy thing... It is VHS versus Betamax.
Yeah.
VHS won a long time ago. The Simpsons wins and that will always be so.
Your old-time opinion, that's all.
Just because the Rolling Stones carried on, have carried on for whatever it is, a quarter century longer than they should have, doesn't diminish the quality of their work in their prime. So it goes for The Simpsons. All right, you don't have to watch it now. Go back. Watch 90 to 2002. You won't be able to find a funnier show. Certainly not Family Guy. All right, can we get to the second half?
Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody behind the glass agrees with my Simpsons opinion? Thumbs up?
Thumbs down. No.
Horn tie.
Two thumbs up and two thumbs down, actually.
Porn tie. Please. Think about who you're associating yourself with there, porn tie. Do you want to associate yourself with Damashek or with Black Tie? Think about it. You want to be Chiefy's friend? I'm going to go over Chiefy's house and watch tapes
By
of Young
way,
Kobe.
By the way, that's Chief with a Y on the back end.
All right. I mean, would have spelled it. How else would I have spelled it?
I don't know.
NFC West. Let's start there just to shake things up. The San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
E and Gad. This might be your winner. Joe Montana, Steve Young.
Three Hall of Famers.
And John Brody.
Yep.
Over Colin Kaepernick.
He's a Hall of Famer.
I know, but I'm just throwing him out there.
If the millennials want, but Colin Kaepernick at the moment has a big question mark.
If you want to run for the deepest rotation of QBs, you could go five or six deep with the Niners. Yeah. Because you could also include Steve Bono, who was he went to the Chiefs and had his better
some
years.
Success. Let's not get carried away with
Well,
Steve
Jeff
Bono.
Garcia, because if you Garcia run deep, you can go Jeff list. Garcia. You can go Alex Smith, who won a division for them and almost got him to the Super Bowl. That's a pretty Tittle.
We can mention what the other teams look like, but this division's
over. Well, we have to look at it because one of these teams might yield a wild card. Yeah. The Rams, that's another one. The Rams have had a lot of good QBs, too. Forget Sam Bradford, but they had Kurt Warner. It's really not that good a list then, I guess. There are a lot of good guys, but Kurt Warner, Roman Gabriel, Jim Everett was a great fantasy QB. At least
he was also the laughing stock of the NFL for
Chris Everett. Yeah, Pat Hayden won some. Vince Ferragamo nearly knocked off the Pittsburgh Steelers in 14.
Yeah, it's not
Mark Bulger. I think we've had enough of that. Yeah,
the Cardinals.
Jim Hart was very good.
Jim Hart was good. I was a big Neil Lomax.
I loved Neil Lomax growing up. But he was to number 25, Roy Green. Mm-hmm. Roy Green, the last guy who really played both sides of the ball, who actually would play the full game, play at corner and play wide receiver for a little while. Then I think eventually they just said, put on number 81, no more DB in for you. You're only playing wide receiver here. Neil Lomax, Kurt Warner again.
I once, when I was about 9 years old, I won a St. Louis Cardinals signed ball. Neil Lomax, Louis Sharp.
Really?
All those guys.
Pat Tilly
was on there.
Yeah. Otis Anderson, O.J. Anderson.
Yep.
He was O.J. Anderson.
He was O.J. Then
and
he
won
went
the rookie of the year, I think, in, what was that, 78, 79-ish?
Probably sometime around then.
Seattle Seahawks have a good group, too. They have Russell Wilson, number one.
Yep.
Matt Hasselbeck and Jim Zorn. How about that? Dave Craig?
Yeah, I would put Craig
they might
on
get
there
a wild
card. Hasselbeck.
Well, he took him to a Super Bowl.
They went to a Super Bowl, and he was their quarterback. I like to make a distinction a little bit like Trent Dilfer. He won a Super Bowl. He was the quarterback on a Super Bowl winning team.
I think the only team that we really have to put a little asterisk next to right now is the Seahawks. They might get a wild.
They might.
Card,
I'll note the Seahawks down.
But clearly, the 49ers are going to be hard to beat as a one seed.
Yeah. If you're listening, you don't need to take the notes. I'll do it.
Thank you, handsome, on behalf of everyone. NFC South. The New Orleans Saints go Breeze and Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Hebert. Okay. Not a
Aaron
bad
Brooks.
One. Drew Breeze goes to the Hall of Fame. Aaron Brooks is in the Ring of Honor.
I'm sure he is.
He really is. How did that happen, by the way? Why would Aaron Brooks get into the Saints Ring of Honor? The Panthers go Cam Newton.
Yes.
Then Jake Delhomme, then Kerry Collins. Okay, we don't have to worry about them. Although Cam Newton is very good. The Buccaneers go Doug Williams, Brad Johnson.
Yeah, okay, enough.
Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to get you over.
Jameis
over
Winston is pretty close to their third best quarterback ever.
Quarterback, and he's never taken a snap.
Falcons go Matt Ryan, Mike Vick, Steve Bartkowski.
That, I mean, they come second in the division, but none of these teams, I mean, the Saints win the division hands down, and none of these teams are getting a wild card berth.
At his present rate of of production, if he does it for five more years, does Matt Ryan go to the Hall of Fame?
No. Matt Ryan and Phil Rivers, and we talked about Phil Rivers last time. If you say his present rate of production, that also means he won't win a Super Bowl, and I think that for the same reason as Phil Rivers, Matt Ryan's not going to be one of those memorable quarterbacks if he doesn't get a ring.
Isn't it fun to think of? I mean, the thing I always say about why Hines Ward, whether you like it or not, is going to the Hall of Fame is because of the persona and all the John Madden. That's a football player right there. That's that guy right there. Look at him block and everything. Not really relevant, you know, series to series or over the course of an NFL season or career. But that is going to get him in that whole kind of thing. Phil Rivers has that in spades. Matt Ryan has none of that.
And I think
in the dome and everything, right. Phil Rivers will get in before Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Does.
And I think, like, just like you and I were just saying, you know, in our youth, we liked watching Neil Lomax. I would imagine that Football Baby one day will turn to one of his friends. I really liked watching Matt Ryan. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember Matt Ryan. And that will be the end of the conversation.
By the way, we got to figure out, what are we going to do with Football Baby?
I have an idea for him.
Do you really?
Yep.
All right. We got to kibitz about that. Feel free to share those, too. Hashtag DDFP. How do you employ a one-year-old, and that's what he'll be come football season. All right, so we're going to – that's a underwhelming division, the NFC.
It really is.
The Saints take it, and they're going to be probably our four seed. Drew Brees is the best. I mean, listen, he's one of the all-time greats, so that's not so bad. And Archie Manning's pretty good too. NFC North, Detroit Lions, Matt Stafford's probably their best, maybe Bobby Lane.
Yeah, that's not
– Gary Danielson. We don't have to worry about that.
Chuck Long.
Chuck Long.
I just wanted to say Chuck Long.
As you pointed out, and I, you probably aren't the first guy to notice that. I don't know how I've missed that my whole life, but that is
the greatest name ever for
the greatest name ever for a quarterback. Unfortunately, it was wasted on a guy who was a failure.
Chuck Long or short.
Chuck Long. Isn't that pretty good? I like that quite a bit. The Bears, they're another sorry one when it comes to QBs. That's their longstanding truth. Jay Cutler, Jim McMahon, Sid Luckman. Jim Harbaugh, we don't need to
Mike
worry.
Mike Tomczak.
That's the worst. If you grow up with the Lions, if you're, you know, it's one thing to be the Jacksonville Jaguars and not have much to hang your hat on. If you're the Bears or Lions, you never had anybody. You have no QB, not one that you hold up. Like, yeah, that one. Now he's in the conversation. Vikings.
Why would you be speaking like that?
Why would I talk in that voice?
Because
I went back into my Madden voice.
Right, I see.
Yeah, see, Bobby Lane now. Now, see, he could. Now, that was a quarterback, see. He was a winner.
Your Madden and Berman are pretty similar.
No, that Madden would go like.
You should do the Madden, Madden talking to Berman talking to Bane.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty good. But it was the Berman would go like, now, Teach, look, the NFC North, look, you got the Chicago Bears, you got the Detroit Lions, you got the Minnesota. Look, there are a lot of teams in the NFC North. But the Green Bay Packers have the best collection of I'm off. I mean, it's the offseason.
No, that's good. That was fine for Berman.
It's not
fine for Berman. But if you'd gone Madden, I think you'd be closing in on the same voice.
So that's right there. The Hines Ward. There's the Packers with Brett Favre. That's like he's a football player right there. See, that's a football play. And the Packers.
The Packers have this division.
They maybe even have
the
number
let's
one
let
seed.
The fans decide. Oh, I think they've got the number one seed.
We've got a Chuck Long question here from behind the glass. Johnny
Iowa number 16.
Johnny Tricaster behind the glass asked this question. Better name for their sport? Chuck Long, football? Usain Bolt, running.
Usain Bolt. I go Chuck Long is pretty because it's the first.
If you say to someone like, hey, you know, if an alien arrived and said, what's the job of a quarterback? He has to Chuck Long.
Right. If Usain Bolt's first name instead of Usain was Gunna. Then it's then now.
Or if he was called like Run Fast, then it would be the equivalent. But he's, I mean, his is like onomatopoeia. It sounds like what he does.
Pretty impressive. Boat.
Well, this is neither here nor there. But a great name is Coy Bacon. I just wanted to bring that one up. That has nothing to do with the guy who played on about six different NFL teams.
Right.
But when you start talking names, too often he slips through the cracks. And by the way, If you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, that's the one jersey you want to own, is a shirt that says, I think bacon. It's 71 or 79, bacon. That's a good jersey to own.
In lieu of there being any good jerseys.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, a Siasin?
Come on. You know, the
just get one that says bacon.
Bacon, yeah. Everybody's going to pat you on the back all day long. You're going to be everybody's friend. The Green Bay Packers, the only question here is, what order do you put the trio in? Brett Favre.
That could be a podcast by itself.
Yeah. Well, you know what my answer would be on that one. But yeah. Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, I go back and forth on this. And when I get some distance from it, like I just said about the Rolling Stones, I watched a Rolling Stones documentary. And by the way, Mick Jagger, great documentary. There are several. Actually, it wasn't a documentary so much as it was a show that one of their shows they did in 73. But boy, you know, here's what happens. It's not my place. We all get caught up in Willie Mays should have retired early. Sandy Koufax retired too early, and you know the Rolling Stones should hang it up, and Letterman shouldn't have hung around as long as he did. But really, it's up to them how long they decide to. That's their life if they want to do that to themselves. But for what it's worth, it does. You should point out. Does anybody behind the glass there, do any of these kids have any regard for the Rolling Stones? They don't. I bet you they like Led Zeppelin more than they like the Rolling Stones. And in a weird way, it's because the Rolling Stones are still around, and so we know
still
who Mick Jagger is.
And
now you associate them. Oh, that's like a silly old man. And whereas you look at the Led Zeppelin, they're not as much out there, so you just hang your hat on their 10 years of music. And Brett Favre, in the same way, said, well, my legacy is my concern. You don't need to worry about it. But I feel like everybody behind the glass there, all the young people back there, don't have any sense of Brett Favre in his prime anymore. All they associate him with is cell phone pics and
I don't think they're that young.
The Vikings days and everything else. What's going on back there, Black Tie?
Talking about Backstreet Boys. Isn't that what you guys are talking about?
I don't like that. Yeah. Look how you get a laugh, though. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What's all the crowd?
We're wondering how old you think everyone back here is.
I don't think about it at all. I couldn't care less. You're dropping Don Draper.
Don Draper.
Thank you. I intend to drop that particular Don Draper.
I can't believe it. I've used it long before Don Draper did.
I used it as a drop in the last Around the NFL podcast.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Why don't you do the same sort of hustle for this program?
Well, no, it's a different show. You can't do the same thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? You can't produce anything.
They enjoy pop culture on that show more than we do.
Well, they're more recent with pop culture, even though they're kind of old, too. But they're definitely more recent than you are.
Anyway, the Rolling Stone, Mick Jagger is – here's the thing. No, these guys behind the glass don't know Mick Jagger in his prime.
You've made your point clear. I understand.
Brett Favre was so great, and I have forgotten that.
But I think
it's obscured that for me.
I think it's been fashionable for people, generally, football fans, to, if you're talking about this ranking, I think Aaron Rodgers is the number one of those three. I think football fans in general have had fun with the argument that, well, Bart Starr, you know, if you look back at it, Bart Starr is probably a better quarterback than Brett Favre, and that's just clearly wrong.
Yeah, he lost one playoff game, and that's a great achievement as a quarterback, but obviously the nature of the game.
But again, if you look at the team that was built around him, it wasn't really like, let's do this with Bart Starr. It was, let's create a awesome running game and let's create a
Paul Hornig,
and we had a lot of great parts with it. Brett Favre, teams were built around that guy, and he played above expectations and made players who probably, you know, like, in fact, in the same way that Aaron Rodgers has, when they go off elsewhere, they were not really as good as they looked with playing alongside Brett Favre.
So, all right, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Bart Starr is certainly the best trio of QBs, and you can actually extend it into either Lynn Dickey or Don Majkowski, whichever way you want to go there. So it's not as though the cupboard is bare, although obviously a significant drop.
It's not.
Three Hall of Famers there. Next, although the Vikings, I dismissed them pretty quickly.
You didn't even miss them.
Oh, I did, yeah. Tarkenton, Hall of Famer. Teddy Bridgewater's looking good, but we're not going to put him in there.
He's not one of the three.
No, Dante Culpepper had his
when
years.
He was throwing rainbows to Randy Moss was – he was pretty spectacular.
Cunningham's window was very narrow in Minnesota, but he did take him to the 15-1 year. Favre had a couple great years.
Right.
Tommy Kramer was very good. He was somebody you and me grew up watching. Tommy Kramer.
They went back and forth between Kramer and another guy. Wade Wilson.
I feel like Wade Wilson was a little behind that number 11.
They kept sort of all fluctuating between the two of them.
And then Tommy Kramer moves on. And then Rich Gannon comes in, and it's Gannon and Wade Wilson. Yeah, that was that whole thing. You know what? The Vikings are pretty good. We have to asterisk them as well.
Don't worry, everyone. I'm writing them down. Vikings and Seahawks are on the wild card.
Random pop culture fact that you're not going to get. Wade Wilson, same name as the Deadpool superhero, which Ryan Reynolds is playing in an upcoming movie.
Turn off your microphone. No, that's fine. That's a good observation.
That's a good one.
I didn't know that one. NFC East. The New York football Giants go Phil Sims and Eli and Y.A. Tittle. That's pretty good. That's a nice trio, and Eli is going to the Hall of Fame after all. So, all right, that's in the conversation.
This division's stacked.
The Eagles go McNabb, Cunningham. Norm Van Brocklin.
Yep.
Jaws.
All right, so the Eagles, I mean, look, those Giants and Eagles are pretty close to each other. You've got a Redskins team that, you know, is probably a little further back, but the Millennials are going to really switch off here.
Sammy Baugh,
Sonny Jurgensen,
RG3,
Joe Theismann.
Mark Rippon won the Super Bowl.
RG3?
No, I'm just kidding. But
he's not even on the list.
That is a good one.
So that's two Hall of Famers, Billy Kilmer.
Yeah. He was the starting quarterback in Super Bowl VII against your Dolphins. And then you have America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, Aikman, Staubach, Romo. Well, that's your division champ.
That's right there. The Dallas Cowboys.
They're in it too.
They're in the mix for that one seed.
So if we've learned anything, the NFC. This is like the NFC in the 80s and like that run when they won 11 straight Super Bowls. And whoever wins the NFC has got to win the overall thing.
Probably.
Right? Who's our number one seed? Well, the Colts are pretty good.
Yeah.
Colts go Unitas and Peyton and Luck.
So are we giving the number one seed to the Niners with those two Hall of Famers?
No.
We're giving it to the Cowboys.
It's got to be the Packers. They have three Hall of Famers. Favre, Rodgers, Starr.
Aikman, Staubach, Romo.
Romo is probably not a Hall of Famer.
No, you're right.
Aikman, Staubach. So let's compare Montana Young. So which is better?
So if Rodgers
Montana
is
Young
if Rodgers
or Aikman,
is...
Staubach?
What?
I mean, that's if we're measuring it based
Twos.
On...
Okay. I would say...
Yeah, Cowboys have to be ahead of that because their third guy, Niners' third guy, isn't anywhere near as good as Romo.
It's one is Packers, two is Cowboys, three is Niners. Wow, the Niners are the three seed. They did not see that coming with Montana and Young.
I love it. That's great. And then the Saints by default.
Take the fourth seed. I think the Saints are going to go out in the wild card round against the Vikings.
So the Vikings with Tarkenton, Culpepper... That's a pretty underwhelming. And then are we putting DC in there?
Or the Eagles.
Or the Giants. Sims, Eli, Tittle. Again, another franchise that's been around way too long for Phil Sims.
All right, so I think, you know what? This is interesting, Dave, because I think what's going to happen is, like in the AFC where two wildcard teams came out of the same division, I think we throw the Cowboys in there. I think we throw the Redskins in there.
On the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, who is – certainly headed in the direction of a Hall of Fame career.
So they say.
Early on, I realize. But then after that, Zorn or Craig. Not interested
in that. And then the Vikings, I'm going to say no on having said yes on. Because, like, how are you going to leave out one of the Eagles or Giants?
Fair enough. All right, there you
Which
go.
Which one
DC.
Do you want?
Well, I'm not going to – I think we leave out.
The Eagles or the Giants?
McNabb ain't going to the Hall of Fame. Eli probably is. Tittle's in there. Eagles have Van Brocklin in the Hall.
Who would you rather have, Phil Sims or Randall Cunningham or Donovan McNabb?
Oh, you know what we should do for tiebreakers? That's what we should do. You extend it to the fourth name. That's how you break the tie.
Okay.
That's a fair way to do it. So
Sims is not
DC
a Hall
of- goes Baugh, Jurgensen, Theismann.
Yep.
He's their third best.
Yep,
he's got to be in there. Theismann was good.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the Redskins are in. The Redskins are in the in our wild card team. It's now between the Eagles and Giants. What do you want to do?
I like Randall Cunningham. I feel like gets slept on way too much.
Yeah, me too.
But and then Van Brocklin and McNabb, Eli Tittle. Yeah, let's go Eagles there.
Eagles.
Giants fans will be very upset.
Giants fans.
But we're gonna give it to the Eagles.
So the Eagles are the 5 seed, and the Redskins are the 5 seed. The Eagles are the 6 seed.
There you have it. And then on the next one, we'll pay it all off by telling you how this goes. Was this boring, Black Tie? You found this boring? I could tell.
Yeah, they're all nodding.
Yeah, it was cool. Good conversation. Seems like you guys enjoyed it.
I mentioned that the Black Tie, Porn Tie, wasn't asked the question, and yet he was nodding just the same. It was boring to you.
It's, you know what? When I was saying that Black Tie isn't, like, Chiefy is not an appropriate name for him, it turns out that he's found 3 people who are willing to follow him.
I know. What has happened to the world that Black Tie has?
Is a chief somewhere.
It's hardly any organization back here, but yeah. You know,
oh, look what Black Tie's done. While he was doing this, I see he's also promoting the Daniel Jeremiah Move the Sticks podcast.
That's not true.
Breakout candidates for 2015.
That is so not true.
The conversation? That's better than the greatest quarterbacks by franchise history?
It's more, you know, it's more about today's, you know.
Yeah, well,
this marries today and the past.
Right. And there's nothing happening today.
Fair enough. Shaq, I feel like Shaq is just making stuff up.
By the way, your friends at the Around the NFL podcast are not going to allow you to do that because they have a series coming up on NFL.com, which is called, I think, the Making the Leap Candidates. Mm. So you're going to have more beef between those.
Breakout and breakout versus making a leap. Still the same thing. You know, we collaborate. We need to do another podcast crossover, which people have been asking for.
I've been asking for it. Why can't you do it?
Well, we can. You guys are being divas, man. Everyone wants to fight, and we're all the same team.
What reality are you living in that there's all sorts of fighting? Who's fighting with anybody?
I don't know either.
All right, Handsome, what do you think? Have we done enough?
I thought we had
here?
A good time. I really
hope. I enjoyed it. We're not allowed to sit here and talk about our love of football history. That's not fun enough for you, Black Tie?
I think fans who
you
are
guys enjoyed
to this.
It. That's all that matters.
I'd like the audience to enjoy it, and I consider you to be the audience on some level there, Black Tie. You are our barometer.
Well, back
come
you,
on, Chiefy.
We liked it.
Porn Tie did like it?
Yeah, we liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chiefy, and the lackeys of Chiefy. I can't believe that this is where we've reached in life. All right. So we'll wrap it there. Bored or otherwise, all's right in the world because the Ewoks are singing the song. It's time for us to go. We'll be back with another show later in the week for you. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.